Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Waz Whitehead. Folks, we are talking about what is happening with Judge Kavanaugh and Dr. Ford around sexual assault. An incident took place many years ago when they were 17 years old. I wanted to just inform parents that we are having a very open and honest conversation about sexual assault, about sexual harassment, and about rape. So if you're listening with very young children, I just want to make you aware of that. I also want to note that we do have to set at least one ground rule. We are going to be respectful toward any woman or man who has suffered through this. We definitely want to be very clear in the language that we're using. We are not victim blaming. That may happen other places, but it will not happen on this show. We want the conversation. We invite the conversation. We recognize and appreciate everybody's perspective and everybody's right to speak, but we have to make sure that if anyone who is listening has been in this situation, that they understand that we are not taking the position that you're wrong, and we're not seeking to shame you if you have chosen not to come forward for your own safety and your own health concerns. All right, with that in mind, let's open up the phones, 410-319-8888. I was talking to Ayana before we went to break. Ayana, thank you so much for holding on.
No problem, Dr. K. So the last caller, he was talking about his situation that happened to him, and I completely agree that it can happen to men,
yes,
as well as women. And I think also the population that's probably extremely vulnerable are young boys.
Yes.
That rarely gets addressed. And I'm an educator in Baltimore City, and I often have concern that when we have those conversations, we leave young men out of the equation, because young boys are also victims as well of sexual assault and abuse. And I think the thing for young men that's really the problem with what keeps them sometimes from coming to the forefront is that at a young age, I think you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but at a young age they learn, if they are in a toxic environment, that they should always respond, willingly to sex.
Right.
So if they have an experience where they felt unsafe and violated, if they come forward and talk about it, the fear is they're going to laugh at me, they're going to call me gay. That's a thing in our community that's a really big issue. You have a lot of times young boys say, that's gay, this is gay. So there's a fear of being labeled gay.
Right.
There's a fear of being labeled, oh, you're not a man. What do you mean? You didn't enjoy that?
Right.
So that's a big problem. And I don't know. I mean, I think we have a lot of repair that has to happen deeply for our people. We are a extremely abused people, historically.
Right. Right.
And there's been a lot of mental enslavement and mindset around certain things that we should be concerned about that have taken a back seat to survival, if
right.
that makes sense.
Right, it does make sense. It does make sense.
Yeah, because our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers, our grandfathers, there's been cycles of abuse for many years in many families, but it's not talked about, it's hushed, because I think you mentioned this earlier with Anita Hill. There's some people that felt like, well, don't accuse that black man.
Yes.
I have to be honest, when Bill Cosby, that whole thing came out, there was a part of you that's like, uh-oh, no, wait, let's not let them see us.
Right.
You know what I mean? And even as a woman, you are so quick to jump, oh, God, well, the black man goes through so much, let us not, what I mean?
I am so glad, Ayana, that you brought up the Bill Cosby example, because we still have people in our community who are upset that Bill Cosby has been made to be accountable to his actions. They'd rather disbelieve all the women in defense of this one man rather than saying, let's look at this a different way. What if the women are right? What if they're telling the truth and he's the one that's lying?
And it's hurtful because, I mean, on one hand, you grew up with this character, but that's what it was, right?
A character.
Not
there you go.
Actual person. But I also think that we have to look at power. Power corrupts. We've heard this many times.
Yes.
And I think in our country, there's a long-standing history of what powerful men and women do and
yes.
can get away with.
Over and over again, right? They get away with it.
It's really just an issue. But the contradiction, though, that I have a problem with is we are out on, witch hunt for a lot of these different men. Bill Cosby, Weinstein was mentioned earlier, and this gentleman, Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
But our president, our sitting
Come
president.
Come on, yes.
That's the thing that's blowing my mind. And he actually gets to comment
yes.
on this man.
As if he's a moral authority on these issues.
So it's just really astounding to me. You know what
yeah.
I mean? We are a country of contradictions.
We are.
We really are. And it's a world of contradictions, really. I mean, Whitney, no, there's other countries, of course.
Right.
They have the same issues that go on.
Yeah.
But it really is, you know, that Time's Up movement. We really do need to kind
we
of,
do
you know,
I like
repair.
That. Thank you so much, Ayana. I agree with that.
No problem.
Hashtag Time's Up. Folks, I want to take a quick listen to this clip of Anita Hill where she's talking about what the FBI should investigate when it comes to Ford's claim. And then Mark, Linda, and Ernest, I will come to you on the phone.
Absolutely, it's the right move. The hearing questions need to have a frame, and the investigation is the best frame for that, a neutral investigation that can pull together the facts, create a record so that the senators can draw on the information they receive to develop their questions.
Anita Hill from the Clarence Thomas Anita Hill confirmation hearings. Think about how long ago that was, 27 years ago. And what was amazing at that time is that 1,600 black women got together, led by Dr. Barbara Ramsey was one of them, who led the charge to have these black women take out a full-page ad in the New York Times. It was called African American Women in Defense of Ourselves. And I just want to read a little bit of it before we go back to the calls here. But they're saying, as women of African descent, we are deeply troubled by the recent nomination, confirmation, and seating of Clarence Thomas as an associate judge of the United States Supreme Court. We know that the presence of Clarence Thomas in the court will continually divide and divert attention from historic struggles for social justice through suggestions and through the presence of a black man on the Supreme Court. Think about that, folks. One of the things that Clarence Thomas talked about, he said he was in the midst of what they call the high-tech lynching, I think is what he called it. That he referred what was happening to him, he compared it to being lynched. He sexually harassed Anita Hill, according to her testimony of the events. He was confirmed. We now have Judge Kavanaugh in the same situation. There are some similarities there. That one of the big differences, of course, is that Clarence Thomas was Anita Hill's boss. When you talk about Judge Kavanaugh and Dr. Ford, they were 17-year-olds and they attended similar high schools. Holton Harms was the girls' version of his all-boys private school. But when it comes to the ways in which we're dealing with it as a culture, not too much has changed. Dr. Ford is receiving death threats. She's being doxxed. She's not receiving a lot of support from the community as a whole. In fact, her own home community, they're raising money now to protect her because of the large number of death threats she's received just by coming forward with her story. We have Mark on the phone. He's a new caller from Baltimore. Mark, welcome to the family.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
I just wanted to say that Kavanaugh situation, I think it's some petty politics going on. I don't think he should be punished now, even if he did do something at 17. It should affect him right now.
So is it because of the incident itself, or you're saying if he did anything, if he murdered someone at 17, robbed someone, lynched someone, this particular incident, because it was sexual assault, you're saying that's not something that should be carried over for that many years?
Because first of all, he wasn't never proven guilty or nothing. Mm-hmm. He was just accused.
Right.
And he was a minor. So you said you have a 17-year-old son.
Yes,
right?
I do.
So I'm pretty sure you wouldn't want something that your kid did and it's as a teenager to affect him when he's like 50.
I would like my son, if my son were to be involved, I'll just say a 17-year-old as a whole. It's kind of hard to say my son. A 17-year-old as a whole, to be held accountable for their actions. He was not held accountable ever. He's never been held accountable for his actions.
But we don't
and
know
he needs
he
to be. Well, I'm saying, but that's why we're asking for an FBI investigation. The push is not to rush to confirm him. The push is to have an FBI investigation to figure out what happened. It can be investigated. The Republicans are not calling even for an FBI investigation, and the Democrats are. Slow the process down and let's investigate.
I got a question now. Is it a statute of limitations on sexual assault where it happened at?
In terms of him being able to go to jail for it?
Yeah, him being prosecuted.
And that's the question. The statute of limitations may have passed, but it's not about him going to jail. It's about calling that into question as they determine whether or not this man should sit on the bench for the rest of his life to shape and make policies that will infect the entire country and in some ways the entire world.
Look, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I believe he should be able to.
Okay. That should be put aside. Okay.
Yes, it's not that it's put aside. I feel for any victim of any type of sexual assault, victim, mm-hmm. anything like that. But you got to also take into account, too, the first thing when somebody being accused in a court of public opinion, you're already guilty. The people are already looking at him like he's a slime ball, like he already did it. Mm-hmm. And then people don't take in mind all the countless times that men's lives have been affected by false mm-hmm. accusations of sexual assault.
Right, but let me just ask you this, though, Mark, because I understand and appreciate what you're saying. But in cases of sexual harassment and sexual assault, it's not typically the man that's presumed guilty. When women come forward, they're typically not believed. They're the ones that tend to be presumed guilty. The questions become, what were you wearing? What did you do? Did you want it? And I'm not saying in our own personal lives. I'm saying if you look across the board at the rape statistics and the continued treatment of how women who do come forward and speak out, what has happened to them over decades. I mean, that's what I'm looking at, that research.
But there's some questions that you got to ask a woman that's probably hard for her to answer, especially somebody who's been traumatized. And I get that, but at the same time, you know, look at the guys who've been to jail mm-hmm. in the prime of their life, did time for something they didn't do, and the woman has not been held accountable.
Okay, but you're talking, I mean, the information you're giving, I think, is important, but it's also anecdotal, though, Mark, because you do have to look at the body of research around this and the percentage of cases where women come forward and they don't see the person who attacked them, who harassed them, who raped them, even
right.
being held accountable for that.
You're right.
And it's not like there's an automatic that they go to jail. I mean, you now have the court of public opinion, Mark, because we have the internet, right? So it's a little bit mm-hmm. different when you start talking about social media and you start talking about putting up. But prior to that, it would be a woman facing her accuser in a court of law, and the odds were that he would walk away.
Yeah, in some cases. But what I think too needs to happen is women, if a woman falsely accuses a man, just like in this case it could be right now, she could possibly
maybe
his man's career, his life, his kids' life, his whole family life.
Mm-hmm.
If she was lying, she should be prosecuted and sentenced to jail for lying.
I absolutely have some strong feelings about that. I do. Because I feel,
agree?
I mean, no, I said I feel the same way. I've said it on the show. If a white person calls a black person, call the cops on a black person who's not doing anything, that white person should be arrested. I've said that
right.
on this show.
Right.
So if you're falsely accusing a man of rape, which, like you said, could potentially affect him, his family, his kids, you should be held accountable. Anybody who puts in a false testimony, a false report, is supposed to be held accountable.
You're right. And as far as Brother Bill, I didn't want to believe he did anything like that, but after so many women come forward.
Where there's smoke, there's fire, right, Mark? Thank
right.
you so much for calling. I appreciate it. We have Mark P. on the line. Mark, how are you? I know you want to chime in about the statute of limitations. How you doing?
I'm good. Just to help Mark out, there is no statute of limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact is that they're not trying to investigate this for trial. So statute of limitations has no bearing on whether he did this or not,
yes.
because it will just be for political purposes. It's for the purposes of character and morality, and that has a bearing when somebody's going to be named to the highest court in the land.
I'm completely agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you, Mark. I
right.
mean, people, it's because I don't think I can't speak of Dr. Forbes. The feeling is that it's not about him going to jail. That's not really what people seem
Correct.
To be after. The feeling is that before this man begins to shape policy, which could potentially be around for 100 years.
Correct.
We really should take them through. I think even more than we take the president through this vetting process, because that position is for life.
Absolutely.
I think
absolutely.
We should vet that position at the highest levels.
And Dr. K, just to step aside, if we think that these women who make false allegations
yes.
should be prosecuted, we have to also look at it in a historical perspective. Where women have gone through this, and this is also current to this day, while women don't come forward because they're not believed, and historically, men and specifically white men had power. So therefore, they weren't believed and they were ostracized. So women didn't come forward as victims. That's why, to this day, most law enforcement agencies do not pursue charges against a woman who makes allegations that are not found to be true.
To make it easier for other women to come forward, right?
That's right. That's right. And again, if we want to be honest, we got to look at it from a historical perspective. Once we catch up, again, just think of it as in race. Like you said, historically, black folk have typically been denied justice.
Right.
And if you don't want them to come forward because they're going to be ostracized or made to seem like they're the victim is the guilty party, then why should they come forward? And it's also going on with Latinos in the criminal justice system. They're made to appear to be be attacked as victims, so they don't come forward when they're robbed and become victims of other crimes, because then they're put on trial for their misgivings or so-called misgivings. Again, we just got to be really careful when we say we want to persecute and prosecute these women when they come forward. And again, not that now if they out and out lie, I agree, they have to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes they're just made to appear to be not telling the truth when it just can't be proven either way. We have to be extremely careful with that.
Now, I do want to make a note as you're putting this out that the number of cases, now I'm just looking at the research. I can't, as I said to Mark, the other Mark, I can't deal with anecdotals. Like, I don't know about your friend who was, I don't know any of that. But the research shows it's actually less than 1% of the cases where the woman is not telling the truth. So less than 1%. Now, you may know your cousin who went to jail because, I can't do the anecdotal things. The percentage is so small. That's the point I was trying to make. So if a woman comes forward and goes through all of this and is lying, she should be held accountable. But the percentage of women who actually do that, who put themselves on the line like this, who take themselves through the ringer, it is not that many, because the feeling is that the woman is lying, that she has to prove that she's telling the truth rather than that person has to prove it didn't happen.
If any rational person would tell me that this lady, and again, I have no idea who Dr. Ford is, would put herself out there,
creating a
story, interfering with her life and her family's life.
She has two young children.
And ask for the FBI to investigate a false allegation that she's making, because it will then be discovered that she's making a false allegation.
Right.
That's got to be absurd.
Yeah.
How can we think she's creating this when she says that there was another party there? And again, that party would come forth and dismiss her allegation saying it's false. Why would she do that? Again, just look at it rationally,
not right or wrong,
because nobody will ever know.
Yeah, I just want to agree with you, and she has two young children. She was living her life, and let's not forget she went to Dianne Feinstein, and she did not want to come forward. She only came forward after reporters started showing up at her job. She actually didn't want to come forward. Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate it. Folks, let's just keep talking about it. We have Lance on the phone. He's a new caller from Baltimore. Lance, welcome to the family. We're having a very interesting discussion. I'm glad you joined us.
Hey, that's me. Okay.
Yes, Lance. Right, are you Lance?
Yes, I am Lance.
I am glad you called.
Thank you. I definitely agree with Mark T and pretty much everything that he was saying.
He was laying it out there.
Yeah, definitely. And I just wanted to just note a case that I recently had been privy to recently. I think I told you about my whole traffic stop or whatever, if you remember.
Yes, I remember. Yes.
Yes. I went to court on that one yesterday. And while I was there, we had to sit through about, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half of these juvenile cases in which, you know, one girl actually was attacked by two young men. And she's sitting on trial for defending herself against these two men. And It just this whole story kind of stuck out to me in the sense of it being her not willing to be able to say at first that it was possibly rape, and eventually getting to that point in the process of, you know, trying to make sure that she wasn't, you know, sentenced without bail or didn't have any bail prior to her trial. And it was plain as day in the recollection of the story that this girl was attacked, that she was possibly going to be raped by these two gentlemen or these non-gentlemen. And it was they almost threw the book at her simply because she had a knife and because the other two were injured, but she was also injured. So I say that to draw attention to the fact that, just as Mark P was saying, there's this constant, or as everyone has been saying, that this constant culture, this rape culture, in which people are seen to be weak or, that they possibly wanted it or was a part of. Like, she may have had a relationship with one of the men or felt as though, like, you know, she was going to go meet one of them and have a time with one of them.
Right.
And then another guy shows up, and then this happens, you know?
Right.
And it's like, at which point are you trying to, you know, make a victim a villain? And in this sense, they're sending her to jail because she defended herself.
Right. I mean, that's very interesting because that kind of gets into what we're seeing in terms of trying to figure out these cases. One of the things I was doing while you were talking, Lance, is just taking a look at all the facts and figures, right? Because with this case you're talking about, what Mark P. was saying and Mark before, you know, this idea, what do we do when we're defending ourselves? The victim becomes the villain, right? What do you do if you have a woman falsely accusing a man, or a man falsely accusing a man? We want to make sure it's not just women, you know, in that position. But I think we should parse those out, Lance, because in terms of the number of women who come forward, and it's a small number of men, because it's even harder for men to come forward when it comes to rape and sexual assault and sexual harassment, that when the investigation is done, it is not that many that are found out to be false. Less than 1% go all the way up. And then the ones that go all the way up with a police report, it's anywhere from 2 to 10%. I mean, that's a very low number. So 90% of them are correct, and around 2 to 10% are false when you go all the way up in terms of putting in an actual police report and having a thorough investigation being done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate you calling. Go ahead, Lance. Let me let you finish.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, and I think the disparity, or the idea that there seems to be more instances, like most people operate off of, self-fulfilling statistics.
Yes,
ones that are, you know,
we call that anecdotal evidence. Like, it's just exactly, like, it happened to me, it must be happening all the time.
Right, or alternative facts.
Yes.
And, you know, these people, they use this stuff in order to, because it validates what they think happened, as opposed to, as you're saying, these actual statistics, these actual studies.
Which we have to look at.
Exactly.
Now, I got to take a quick break here. Lance, thank you so much for calling. Folks, when we come back, I have Howard, Clarence, Linda, Ernest, and Paul on hold. And actually, Ernest, I'll come to you first because you've been on hold the longest. When we come back, let's talk about this. 410-319-8888. Let's be clear, folks. In terms of the number of cases that go all the way through with the police report, when they do a thorough investigation, less than 10% of them are found out to be false. Less than 10%, which means 90% of them bear out. So let's be clear when we start talking about people making up rape allegations. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Stay with us.
This Saturday night, your Morgan State University Bears set to attack
the MEAC.
Bears take on the defending MEAC champion, North Carolina A&T Aggies.
Makes the catch!
Our coverage begins with the Morgan Game Day Experience at 5:30. Kickoff Saturday night, set for 6.
Touchdown, Morgan!
Right here on the home of the Bear, WEAA, the voice of the community.
90-yard TD strike, DeAndre Harris to Manasseh Bailey.
Not sure if you are a current WEAA member? Call us at 443-885-2075.
In this case where we're talking about Judge Kavanaugh and Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, she's actually asked for an FBI probe. Now, I want us all to be clear. The victim is asking for more scrutiny, not less. So why would she ask for more scrutiny if it's something she made up? Why would she ask for an FBI probe if she was just lying? Why would she put herself to a point where she's dealing with death threats if she's just trying to get some attention so she can write a book? Come on, folks. We got to base some of this in reality here about what is going on. We're not talking about the man going to jail. We're talking about what Irene Williams said on Facebook Live. She said, look at this. You're talking about putting a man onto the Supreme Court and, quote, giving him ultimate power on the Supreme Court for a lifetime would be criminal, and his impact on the laws of our country would be in jeopardy. Anyone with this much controversy should be investigated thoroughly before confirmation. The FBI should be involved in this matter. We have Ernest on the phone. Ernest, how are you, and thank you for holding.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
When Justice Thurgood Marshall was asked about Clarence Thomas, should he be put on, be confirmed? His remarks were, a black poisonous snake is just as dangerous as a white poison snake. That's what he said about Clarence Thomas. But remember how Joe Biden, Orrin Hatch, and Grassley disrespected Anita Hill.
Yes, they did. She said that.
And it was a whole list, a line of Negroes supporting Clarence Thomas.
Yes.
I remember vaguely.
Yes.
Oh, she's trying to stop a black man from being on the Supreme Court.
Don't air our dirty laundry. Let him advance. He's older. He's different. I heard it all.
And he has passed laws that has affected African Americans and other minority people in a negative manner.
Time and time again.
Time and time again.
Yes.
And this is, see, first of all, they're calling this young lady who was 15, a woman.
Yeah, she was not.
They're calling her a woman. And they're calling this 17-year-old thug
a boy.
A boy.
Yeah.
Yes. White people get it twisted, don't they?
No. And this, my concern is that the ways in which we infantilize white men. White men are boys. Remember Dylan Storm Roof? That's the white, young white man who blew away 9 people in the Christian church in Charleston, South Carolina, 9 black people.
Right.
He was a boy.
Yeah, he
was a grown man. But Tamir Rice looked like a man, and Tamir Rice was 12.
Right.
He was black, right? So we tend to age our young black boys. We don't give them a childhood, and we tend to infantilize white men. I mean, it's the facts, folks. It's not something we're just making up, but it actually happens.
And what happened that night when that 17-year-old boy and his partner grabbed that young lady and took her in the room, hand over the mouth, and threw her on the bed? That was assault and attempt to rape.
Yes.
That was one of the charges, and a whole level of other charges, including assault by placing hands and all this.
Yes.
Now, it's a thing that you can't try criminally now. However, you don't want a person with that kind of mentality to be on the Supreme Court for the rest of his life.
No, I don't. I don't. I mean, I think we already have Clarence Thomas. We don't need a second one on there.
And plus the fact he came from the George Bush administration.
Yes, it's that he's not new.
Justifying torture.
He's not
justifying
new.
Justifying wars. Justifying all kinds of stuff. This is the guy that did a lot of writing and to justify these different things. If you read up on it,
his work is out there. He has not been a silent partner all these years. He is very vocal in his positions.
And he like the man said, talking about the way she was dressed.
Okay,
I'm sure that this guy went to Georgetown Prep, and she went to another exclusive.
She went to Holton Arms.
Exclusive high school for rich kids.
Yes.
They're not going to be dressed no any kind of way.
They wore uniforms to school back then, I'm sure.
And of course, they drank liquor and probably did other things. But when you attempt rape 17 years ago, it doesn't make any difference. Now, what the FBI would do, if you lied to the FBI, then it does become criminal. This is why this guy has been in the White House for 3 days. He's a lawyer.
Wow.
And he's been to Yale undergrad and Yale Law School. He's been on the bench for a long time. He's at the appeals court. So he can consume a lot of information and remember it. And all that. He's not a dummy.
No, he's not. And I think people need to be aware of the tactic here.
But he does not want to be interviewed by the FBI.
Because it'll be a crime if
he lies. He doesn't want to take a lie detector test.
No, he does not. And she already has. Thank you so much, Ernest. We have Howard on the phone from Northeast Baltimore. Howard, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm listening to all this, and I got one question.
Sure, sir.
Has he denied doing what he said he's accused of doing?
I believe he said he has no memory of it. I think that's the last thing that he said. He does not want to take a lie detector. He will not go before the FBI. He says he just does. Let me see. I'm looking it up right now. What is his new stance? Because he keeps changing it. Go ahead.
Well, I got to make a point then.
Okay, go ahead.
I was involved with the court system for over 39 years. And anybody that's a judge remembers what happens. So to come up here and say he doesn't recall it is what I heard back in 1966. Just say you can't remember, and you'll be all right. Okay?
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you. Which is why there is a push, and I'm sure maybe you agree with that. This is why there's a push to have the FBI investigate. Because the FBI investigates, he can't lie to the FBI. He can't say he doesn't remember because they're going to investigate and find out what happened.
That's my whole point. Go ahead on with the show. Let the FBI do what they need to do, because we don't need a person who has no memory or who's a liar on the Supreme Court for their life.
And okay? I definitely appreciate the fact that she is asking for more oversight. Now, the latest here, so Brett Kavanaugh in the very beginning denied the anonymous allegation of decades-old sexual assault. Then he came back out and said he didn't remember. Then he denied it again. And then the person who was at the party, that person denies being at the party and sexual assault allegation. That's why we need the FBI. Like, we need to get this cleared up, Howard. You know what I'm saying? It's too many stories. Everybody's lying. Thank you so much. It's folks like when you're dealing with your kids, when there are too many versions of the story, you got to tear everything down and get to the heart of the truth that's taking place. We have Clarence on the line from Northwest Baltimore. Clarence, how are you?
I'm fine, Dr. K. First, I'd just like to say, oh, and how are you, Dr. K?
I'm doing well. No,
get
thank
ahead
you.
Of myself.
Thank you.
My wish list is that by the time the FBI does the investigation and it goes through the Warren Commission and the 9/11 Commission, we'll have a Democratic president, okay?
By the time we get there, right?
Yeah. But Dr. K, it's one thing that sticks in my head with this whole thing. You and I can sit here and say to anybody, no, I have never raped anybody.
Right.
Period. Oh, I can't remember it?
Yeah.
I said, wait a minute. No. Okay? That's what sticks in my head about this gentleman. He cannot walk up to the camera and say, no, I have never, ever done this. It did not happen. End of story. You know?
The story's not going away. I mean, he did. There was a time, I want to note, that he did deny it. But the story kept coming back. See, it's one thing to deny it and it's gone. But if it's denied, it comes back. You now say another statement. Comes back, it keeps coming up. This story is not going anywhere. I do know
it should never
have gotten this far.
It never changed from no.
Yeah.
It never happened. That's what it should have never changed from that.
Because everything's coming out now. Everything is coming. And until it completely gets solved, because remember, her name just came out. It's not like we've been talking about Dr. Ford for months now. And weeks. Like, this is very new. I mean, there was a feeling a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, that he was on his way breezing right on through.
Yeah, I kind of felt that way, too.
Yeah.
But, Dr. K, let me ask you a question. In your opinion, what would be the standard of finding the truth? What would you base it on? Corroborating witnesses.
Right. So trying to find out who else was at the party. Where was the party? What was his character and behavior in college? What was he like? Did he participate in a lot of drinking parties? Was he known for this type of behavior? What is her character? What was she like back then? I know it was 30 years ago, but I can remember comfortably some things that happened 30 years ago. I can talk about people from high school and give you a sense of what they were like.
Sure.
They would start investigating like they would do any crime. And the thing that I like about bringing the FBI involved, because we know people lie to cops all the time. It's a crime, a federal crime, to lie to the FBI in terms of trying to get to the truth of it.
There has to be something that everybody can agree substantiates that, yes, this happened.
Yes.
Cooperating witnesses, not just the lie detector test.
Right. You need people. Who was there? I mean, can you tell me there was a party that took place and nobody else was there but the two of them? No, because she mentions names of people at the party.
Okay.
Yes.
That's fine for me. Thank you, Dr.
All right. Thank you so much. We have Clarence on the phone. Clarence from Northwest Baltimore. How are you, Clarence? All right. We lost Clarence. We have Omar from Baltimore County. Omar, how are you?
Yes. Good evening, Dr. K. I'm going to take this in a slightly different direction.
Yes, please.
But I think you'll find it okay. We're talking about Mr. Supreme Court nominee and so forth.
Yes.
And you're talking in general about sexual assault and what have you. You know, what we have not talked about or taken it to the level of talking about people like Essie, I think her name is Essie Washington Williams, who is the daughter of Strom Thurmond, by the domestic help. He was, yes. She was 16 when Strom Thurmond had, you know, relations with her. She was the help in the house.
Right.
And this woman, she, you know, her name is Carrie Butler. But so Strom Thurmond basically committed statutory rape. And so what I'm trying to say is that we have a whole legacy in the South
right.
of white men forcing themselves on African-American women. And there was always a power differential. So whether or not it was, quote unquote, consensual in some cases
right.
or not, I find to be irrelevant. So I would argue that another aspect of this whole thing is to talk about reparations from these families who know that they are related to certain black families, and the black families stepping up and saying in public, hey, you people over here, this is what you did to us, and you know, and what have we gotten for it, you know, or what have you, or just to even have it, if you want to do the truth and reconciliation thing and get nothing for it, other than truth and reconciliation,
right.
you can do that too. So anyway, I'm just saying that we live in a society where there's long been a notion of certain groups of men having power over women. And in the caste situation,
right.
they had even more power. They have automatic power. And that we have a whole legacy in the form of the fact that 70% of Afro-North Americans have at least one white forebear, usually not women, although
right,
there
right,
are.
Right.
You know, you can't say that because in some places up north and in some places, there were white indentured servants who did marry African men right here,
right.
even in Maryland.
Right.
So I'm not saying that, but I'm talking
just kind
about
of reparations. I like that. Thank you so much. Folks, I just want to add some information in there. He's talking about Strom Thurmond, who served as U.S. Senator from South Carolina. I believe he held the record for being at 100 years old, still being a senator from South Carolina. When he was 22, Strom Thurmond raped Carrie Butler. She was 16 years old. She was the daughter of the people who worked in the house where he grew up. And Carrie Butler had a daughter called Essie Mae Washington Williams. People in South Carolina knew about Essie Mae Washington Williams, the eldest child of Strom Thurmond, a man who stood up against civil rights. Let's not forget Strom Thurmond in 1957, against the Civil Rights Act of 1957. He holds the record for the longest lone filibuster in history. He filibustered for 24 hours and 18 minutes against the Civil Rights Act of 1957. And at the same time, here he is raping Carrie Butler. And even though he said it was consensual, she was 16. He was 22. He was white. His parents owned the home. She was 16, black. Her parents worked for his family. I should put that out there. That's who the caller was referring to. We have Aaron on the phone, a new caller from East Baltimore. Aaron, welcome to the family.
Hi, Dr. K. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
My question I had for you, Dr. K, was I understand that there were 60 or so women who signed some type of a document stating as to the character of the Supreme Court justice. But my question is, how many men from his school days have signed that, have signed something that speak of his character? As far as I know from listening to the news, I haven't heard of anything.
I haven't heard
of
anything.
That's very interesting that you don't hear a lot of his schoolmates coming out, you know, in support of him.
It's very interesting. Now, I'm going to ask you, Aaron. I have not seen that. I want to ask you, Aaron, if you wouldn't mind, would you be willing to age identify? How old are you?
Oh, yes, I'm 64.
Okay, so 64. I'm asking that because I just want you to think back. If someone came to you about somebody from high school, you may not remember everything about it, but could you comfortably have an idea of whether or not that person has a moral fortitude, at least at the time in which you knew them?
Oh, sure.
Where they could, I mean, because sure. Even though it happened years ago, you have a good sense. I can look through the yearbook and I can give you an idea. Okay, he used to drink. You know, I didn't like what I heard about him. I can tell you those things. I have not heard of any men.
Sure.
I know they in particular went after and got women to sign, but at the same time, 1,000 women who graduated from Holton Harms, where Dr. Ford graduated from, actually came out today with a document where they said, we believe you, we support you, we stand up with you. And that is very interesting. I want to see what's going to happen with Dr. Ford because of the death threats. Like, how far do you go with this knowing that she's a mother with young children? Like, how much do you put yourself out here? Because the other side that wants to get this moving along, they're not happy that she has come on the table with this.
Oh, yeah, they're not because she's telling the truth. You know, this guy, you know, his character is suspect.
Yes.
And the truth is coming out, and they're doing everything they can to derail the process and demonize this woman, and
yeah.
And he's probably done these things.
To frighten her and silence her. Yes, I agree. Thank you for putting that. But I have not seen anything. And what I will do, Aaron, I will keep my eyes open because I have not seen a document coming out where men who went to school with him, men who, let's be clear, probably did drink with him. He did say he drunk. And they found the video clip of him where he talked about his school saying whatever happens at the school stays at the school. Like, you know, some of the things that took place at the school and the reputation of the school around drinking, that is not something that people don't know. That was very well known at that time.
Thank you, Dr. K.
Thank you, Aaron.
My call.
We have Paul on the phone from West Baltimore. Paul, how are you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Dr. K. First of all, let me start off by saying this. This president that's in the office right now, his credibility should be, oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Anybody that he had nominated to do anything, we need to
Come on. Yes.
Because remember, in his campaign, he promised he was going to drain the swamp. That's what he said. So I don't know what swamp he's draining.
No.
It seems like, guilty by association. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
I'm out there on the corners. I'm dealing drugs. Most likely my friends are. My peers are. That's what happens, you know?
Right.
Once a crook, always a crook associates by a crook. So, you know, listening to your show, I've learned a lot about rape victims. And I have a better understanding now why a lot of them don't come forth because it's a hard thing to deal with when you're the victim. And now you're being prosecuted like you're the one who did something wrong,
right.
You know. And years ago, when this country, like I said, now I'm not going to say just Caucasian because they were African-American men who took advantage of their nieces, their own daughters, too.
Yes.
But when you look at how it was back 30, 40 years ago, you know, these white guys were forcing themselves on these women. They had power. They had money. They put them in positions where either you do this or you're not going to get this or whatever. You know, I still say that that's rape. When a woman say no, it's no. Just leave it alone. Like a guy said yesterday, walk away from her. There's plenty of women out here. You know what I mean? Plenty of men out here. You know, so it's just right about now, I'm glad she's coming forth with it. Now, here's my question, though. With this all being said and done, and when it's time for the women to vote, a lot of these Caucasian women were persuaded by their husbands to vote in
for
that
Trump.
Where Trump was.
Yes.
You know, Caucasian women. And I wish
54%.
They would
54%.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. So I'm just trying to figure out now how their vote's going to go now with knowing that this president done been in all kinds of sexual and all kinds of things that he's
his more character is once again being called into question. But you and I know, Paul, right? I mean, Donald Trump didn't just enter our lives. I mean, dude has been in our living room for years. We're going back to his policies in New York when black folks couldn't rent a place in his towers. Like, let's go back to that. A policy set up by his daddy that was continued by him. Donald Trump is the same Donald Trump he is today that he was when he was in New York, hanging out, dealing with Trump Towers, listening to the things that he said. He has not changed. I mean, this is a man that said he could walk down into Times Square, shoot someone, and still get elected? I mean, wasn't that Donald Trump who said that?
Well, I sure would like for him to come to Baltimore and see what happened with all that.
Yes, and have him come here. Thank you so much, Paul. Folks, this is a hard conversation because what we're trying to figure out is should Judge Kavanaugh be held responsible for something that he did when he was 17? But I'm going to say yes. I mean, if he stole something at 17 and they bring that out, would you want the next Supreme Court justice to be someone who's stolen things, who's raped someone, who's assaulted someone, who's harassed? Like, do you want this person shaping policy? And I know that nobody is perfect. I'm just thinking for the Supreme Court that there should be extreme vetting because that is a job that you can have for life. Your job determines the direction of this country. Like, no other job does that but sitting as an associate justice for the Supreme Court, folks. We have Dwayne on the line from Baltimore. Dwayne, how are you?
I'm just happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here.
Well, I hate to be the foil and the bearer of bad news. but all this talk about moral character and moral fiber for the court means absolutely nothing to the Republicans who have the votes to vote him in.
Yeah.
It means absolutely nothing to them and their supporters, the large evangelical group that supports and helps push our current president, his policy, and his nominees. So, let's all remember that this is just really a sideshow. Republicans, if the Republicans would put Clarence Thomas, a black man, in the 80s.
Come on.
Okay, what in the heck makes anybody listen to this show think that they're gonna say, we found our moral compass. We're not gonna vote for Judge Kavanaugh. They have the vote. The Democrats can't stop it. So at the end of the day, unfortunately, this is just a sideshow. Moral fiber means nothing because our Republican brothers and sisters took their moral compass and threw it in the Chesapeake.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if they've had a moral compass for a long time. Dwayne, the one thing I want to add out, I just add in here something that Irene Williams said on Facebook Live, Dwayne. Irene Williams said that Dr. Ford, because we're talking about, you know, this moral character and this compass and trying to figure out what happened, she actually named names and the whole school talked about this incident for weeks after it happened, according to other classmates. So with this moral fortitude and the moral character, they actually can trace this particular incident and they can get to the truth of this if they want to.
Well, even if they get to the truth, it doesn't matter because the Republicans have already decided that this is their guy.
Yeah.
Look, if they will hold back 100,000 pages of documents and won't let the Democrats look at them, won't let it then there could be all kinds of dirt in there. But they don't care. All our Republican brothers care about is winning. They will win at all costs. They do not care about morality.
No.
So this is, like I said, this is a cute conversation, and I'm enjoying it as I always do. But at the end of the day, I don't want people to get their hopes up and think that this is going to amount to anything, because it's not.
So we're not going to win this one is what you're saying, Dwayne.
No, we're not going to win. We lost when our brothers and our Democratic and liberal brothers and sisters in states besides Maryland decided that they weren't going to go to the polls to protest the Hillary vote and let Donald Trump become president.
Yes. Yeah. No. They're not going to do that. They're not going to do that.
That's when we lost.
Yeah. We lost. But you know, if you look at it though, Dwayne, we've been losing a lot of them. Like, when once we lost with the whole Trump thing, we've been losing ever since. For those who are not Republicans, and it doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or independent, once Trump got in the office, we've been losing systematically here.
Well, yes and no, but let's not forget. See, the one thing that our middle class and our lower class, Republican brothers and sisters forget is that when the Republicans get in office, their policies are for rich people, not for middle class and poor people.
No, they're not. I'm glad you said it's for rich people. The middle class, we tend to think, oh, they're talking to us too. No. They're not talking to you. It's for rich people. No, it's not for the middle class. The middle class is being squeezed.
Exactly. And so the chickens, if you look back at the past Republican presidents, the economic chickens have always come back to roost in the form of a massive recession.
Yes. That impacts the middle class and makes it smaller.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So, this is just the delusion and the craziness of our political system.
Here we go.
He's going to be on the Supreme Court.
And when that happens, I want you to call back, Dwayne, so we can talk about it. Thank you so much. Folks, in the last couple of minutes of the show, I want to go back and I want to do a flashback. A flashback to Anita Hill's explosive opening statement. I'm talking back, way back here. Because 27 years ago yesterday, black women put an op-ed in the New York Times. 1,600 black women signed this op-ed. It was actually a four-page ad. And in the middle, it was talking about African-American women in defense of ourselves. 27 years ago, they talked about what it meant for Anita Hill to come forward and to not be believed. I just want to play some of Anita Hill's opening statement when they forced her to talk about what Clarence Thomas had done to her.
During this period at the Department of Education, my working relationship with Judge Thomas was positive. I had a good deal of responsibility and independence. I thought he respected my work and that he trusted my judgment. After approximately 3 months of working there, he asked me to go out socially with him. What happened next and telling the world about it are the two most difficult things, experiences of my life. It is only after a great deal of agonizing consideration and great number of sleepless nights that I am able to talk of these unpleasant matters to anyone but my close friends.
And then she talked about, in this explosive statement, the fact that he continued to harass her. He continued to make her feel uncomfortable. He made all kind of sexually suggestive comments, whether it was over her soda can, whether it was about what he liked to do sexually. He talked to her about sex videos. He was her boss. She was doing this at the confirmation hearings. Clarence Thomas of now, of course, a U.S. Supreme Court justice. She was not believed. Anita Hill said the only way we can get to the bottom of this, they need to bring the FBI in to investigate. Because like Anita Hill, there are people who don't believe Dr. Ford. I know, folks, we take a hard line on this show. I know I tend to say, you know, let's believe the women. Let's be clear. It is hard as a woman or a man who's been sexually assaulted, harassed, rape, to come forward and tell your story. We definitely are thinking about anybody where this conversation was a trigger for you. We're thinking about anybody who has gone through that incident. Do know we stand with you. And if you do give us a call, even though we're not taking any more calls on the air, if you give us a call at 410-319-8888, Justina will give you the number to Jada McCray so you can talk to someone. Folks, I just want to remind you, there is life on the other side of assault. There's life on the other side of rape. There's life on the other side of harassment. We can get there. Just like there was life on the other side of American enslavement. We can get there, folks. We just need to be clear that we need to get there together. Now, we're going to leave it here for today. Today with Dr. K is a production of WEAA. The show is produced by Justina Pollard with assistance from our new intern, Deja Edwards, and our old intern, Sinead. Today is Sinead's last day. She has been a blessing and a joy to have here. Her work is above board, and she definitely has set the standard high for the next intern, Deja, to follow, to jump up to meet that board that she has set. Our board operators are Andre Melton and Charlie Fine. Stay tuned because up next is For the Culture with Faraji. Remember, folks, that here on Today with Dr. K, your voice matters, your opinion matters. We tell stories that matter. If it's happening around the country, around the city, in your community, and if it has your ear, you better believe it has my attention. Make an appointment. Meet me back here tomorrow at 3 p.m. Let's talk all over again and keep it here for a final update from MTA.